Hi, I'm Rick Steves. One summer, journalist Martin Fletcher took a hike and discovered the essence of the Middle East. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, he'll explain how his 100-mile walk along the Mediterranean coast of Israel taught him more about the people of that region than 30 years of reporting as an American TV correspondent. He joins us a little later in the hour. Elaine Sciolino is also an American journalist with a keen eye for detail. When she moved to Paris, she quickly learned that her American approach to getting information doesn't always work in France. She joined us by phone a while back from her Paris home to tell us about her favorite hidden gardens in France. Today, Elaine returns to share with us what she's uncovered about this seductive French psyche in her new book. Elaine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me once again.
You're a longtime Paris correspondent, right? Former bureau chief for the New York Times in Paris?
Yes, that's right. I moved there with my husband and my two children in 2002, and my children went off to college, and my husband and I have stayed.
Now, how, as an American, do you know enough about this very complicated, subtle side of the French culture to help us not be frustrated by it?
I had the advantage of studying French history in graduate school, and then I lived in France once before in the late 1970s as a very young and single journalist. So I sort of built it all together and created this confection that is constructed out of years and years of gathering little bits and pieces of a mosaic.
So you understand the French culture, and as an American, you can share it with us. The subtitle of your book, How the French Play the Game of Life. What do you mean by that?
I wanted to show that seduction is a driving force in all of French life. And we in America think of seduction and we tend to think about sex. In France, seduction infuses all aspects of French life. It infuses French history, French culture, French food, perfume, fashion, politics, even foreign policy. You could have a cover story at a magazine on King Henry IV, and it'll say, you know, King Henry IV, the leader, the seducer.
So the seducer doesn't mean he's just laying every woman in the court. It means he is effective at charming people to get his way?
Yes, but in the case of Henry IV, it was both.
How have you been seduced in a non-sexual way in Paris?
I had to learn to change my whole way of operating. Most of my journalistic career was as either a diplomatic reporter or national security correspondent. I covered the CIA. I've covered terrorism trials, where the goal is to get information, to get it quickly, to get it accurately, and put it into the New York Times. Suddenly, I'm confronted with a very loose subject and elusive subject. And I had to learn process. I had to learn to take my time. I had to learn that the information wasn't going to come in the beginning of the interview. It was going to come at the end. So it required an investment of effort and time and using different journalistic muscles than I had been using for most of my years as a journalist. I had to learn to keep the notebook in my handbag for about 15, 20 minutes, to not ask questions frontally, and to play. And when I say play, I mean play with conversation, to learn to banter. I had to learn how to joke. I mean, here I am of Sicilian origin. We Sicilians don't joke. And so suddenly I had to learn how to joke and joke in a different language, too.
Okay, so you played the seduction game as a journalist and you did it effectively. How have you been seduced in a sexual way in Paris?
I am a happily married woman.
I don't mean cheating on your husband. I'm just talking about, is that a part of life in Paris? Because my experience is it's a very seductive, in a sexual way, place.
Well, it's the kind of place where men of all ages look at women of all ages. And we're not used to that in America. Once you hit 50 in America, guys stop looking at you. In France, you walk down the street and there's a woman who's 60, 70 years old and you look at her and you know that she feels good about herself.
Wow.
You know she feels beautiful and you just want to follow her down the street because you can just get a whiff of her beautiful perfume.
So workmen paying attention to or whistling at a passing woman in America and workmen doing the same in France, are you saying it's two different things?
Well, you're referring to an anecdote in the book where a friend of mine who's an extremely elegant, beautiful French woman in her mid-50s chastised me for wearing gym clothes to go out to buy a pound of butter. And she says, I always get dressed up even to go out and buy a baguette. And she puts on high heels and makeup and does her hair. And I said, well, why in the world would you do that? And she says, on ne sait jamais, you know, one never knows. And I said, well, one never knows what, Sophie Caroline? And she said, well, one never knows if you'll pass the window washer and he'll whistle at you. And I'm thinking, why in the world would you want the window washer to whistle at you? Because in America, we're conditioned to keep a distance from that kind of remark or reaction from a guy. All these years of our American feminism has taught us that we don't want to be treated like a piece of meat.
Right. So that degrading aspect of the whistle in America might not be degrading to a French woman?
Some of my best friends would just be delighted to be whistled at, yes. But, you know, I think this is one of the reasons why Americans love to go to France, because they can enter this other world. We can pretend to be French. We can enjoy the process and the pleasure.
They're into that word pleasure. You know, there's a fundamental cultural difference here. You talk about it beautifully in your book, perfume, gardens, wine, the French passion for pleasure.
Well, it's the word plaisir, which when we think of pleasure, we probably either think of like a pleasure cruise or pleasure in sex. But pleasure is much broader than that in French. A meal, for example, is not just sitting down at a table and eating. It's thinking about what you're going to cook. Then it's going to the market and looking at what's in the market and choosing it. And it's negotiating with the different people at the market about what's good that day. Then it's bringing it home. Then it's cooking it. And then, of course, it's eating it. But then after eating it, you have to talk about what you ate and how it differs from the last time you ate whatever it is. And sometimes there's a nap. Now, obviously, this doesn't happen every day, but it happens enough in French life and even in very simple French life that we Americans can appreciate it when we're there, but it is a very different kind of event and exercise than what we're used to.
In a way, it's like a great equalizer and an expertise in taking pleasure in simple things, a walk in the garden, a glass of wine at a corner cafe, a conversation. It's a beautiful thing about France, I think. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Elaine Chalino, and her new book is La Séduction, or in French, La Séduction.
You sure you don't have a glass of red wine?
That does help when you're in France. That does help. We were talking about this different approach to these pleasures, and a lot of people mistake sex for just getting into bed, it seems like. In France, I get the sense that there's more to sex than simply scoring. It's just a way of life, and there's people who never, ever will end up in bed with each other that have this sort of dalliance going on, just in a daily sort of rhythm of their life. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I happened to be watching a Sex and the City episode last night on television, because right now I'm in the United States, and it must have been an early episode, and it absolutely struck me in a very dramatic way that there was this one scene where it was all about the event, and it wasn't about the before, and it wasn't about the after. It was all about, okay, we had the event, and was the event itself good or bad? It's very different in France. The anticipation of the event is much more important, and the remembrance afterwards. I have a young French friend who had a bit of a dalliance. It never led to anything, but with a guy who invited her over for a party, and she went, and she left her scarf there. And months later, he brought it back, and he had spritzed it with his perfume so that she couldn't forget him.
Oh, now that is very French, it seems like. When we're talking about this, I think, like in Spain, you have riveting eye contact. You have the technique with the
right
fan and the sultry flamenco dancing. And in France, you've got le regard, the look.
The look. The look is much more important in France than it is in the United States. How many of us as Americans, particularly during our first trip to France, but Paris more specifically, are walking down the street and you accidentally bump into someone and you want to sort of smile and the person gives you this stare, or that you're walking past a cafe and everybody's eyes are staring at you. And you think, these people are so rude. They're staring at me. Or in the metro, they stare. But in France, the stare is really a kind of visual embrace. It goes back to the time of the troubadours, where men and women of the court were forbidden to talk to each other, but they could express their feelings with just one look. And it's something that still exists today.
Now that's powerful.
Well, it's also interesting because you can say everything in a look, but you can deny that the look ever took place.
Yes. And there's no simple winking or any of that kind of stuff. It's just...
Winking is out. Winking is out. The father of my French researcher told her only whores wink. It's much too blatant.
And smiling is complicated, too. A lot of Americans misread the lack of a smile in France, don't they?
Yes, and the French, when they come to the United States and everybody's smiling at them all the time, it's sort of like the visual version of have a good day,
yeah.
Because the French think that you don't really mean it. You have to earn a smile. A smile only comes with a complicity and a closeness.
And the word. Americans have a kind of a harsh sound to the language, and I notice in France there's something almost like a caress just with the sound of the voice.
If you have a voice like you do, you know, if you have a really good radio voice, you can have anything in France.
Really?
Just to let you know. Yep.
Thank you. You've just complicated my life miserably.
It might be a three-star meal.
Oh, that's good.
But
the Americans need to pay attention to that. They don't need to be just standing on the outside. They can get into that voice. They can get into that eye contact. Elaine, I love the way you start your book, La Seduction, with a description of how Jacques Chirac, the president of France, kissed your hand. Recount that for us. Tell us what he wanted and what you felt.
I went in to see Jacques Chirac for an interview in 2002, shortly after I had become Paris bureau chief. And I went in with the foreign editor at the time, Roger Cohen. It was a very, very serious moment in U.S.-French relations. We had a huge dispute with France over Iraq. This was a real hardball interview. And Chirac, you know, gripped Roger's hand, shook it, and then he cradled mine like a piece of porcelain from his collection and kissed it. And I was unsettled. I was déstabilisé, as one says in French. I thought, does this man take me seriously, or is he trying to charm me?
And you were playing the game of life on French terms.
Well, it was only afterwards that I thought, what is going on here?
Well, this is the challenge for all of us when we enjoy and embrace French culture. Elaine Chelino, thank you so much and best wishes with your book, La Seduction.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Elaine Chelino also has her own website, elainechelino.com. Her last name spelled S-C-I-O-L-I-N-O. We also have guest links in the radio details at ricksteves.com. In a moment, NBC foreign correspondent Martin Fletcher explains what he discovered by slowing down from his usual reporting style and hiking the entire coastline of Israel. He's next on Travel with Rick Steves.